word of
God. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. We give you all glory and all praise and adoration belonging unto thee. Worthy art thou to be praised and to be glorified and to be magnified. There is none that can be compared unto thee, O God. We come before you this morning. We ask that you speak to us, Lord, in a language of our understanding. Let your word strengthen us, quicken us, and transform us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. For a long time now, I've realized that there has been a paradigm shift when it comes to the way we worship God. And the way we relate to God. Many of us Christians have become need-driven. We have become very need-driven Christians. We relate to God through our needs. God has become like a talisman to us. And so we use the talisman to conjure our needs. All our relationship with God is based on needs. If you go to all prayer meetings around, it's all about need-driven prayer meetings. You don't go to prayer meetings this day and they are praying for the salvation of Afghanistan. What do they care about the salvation of Afghanistan? They are in Ghana, they are hungry. They are thinking of what to wear, what to eat, what to drive, and where to live. What has the salvation of Afghanistan got to do with them?
Afghanistan,
what has the salvation of Iraqis got to do with them? They don't care. They don't care about the next neighbor who is going to hell, is living his life in a manner that is going to hell. They don't care. How many get up in the morning and you are praying for your next door neighbor who is a weed smoker, and you are praying and you are trusting God that the hand of God will touch him and he will repent? How many people are praying for the growth of Christians, the true growth of Christians, that Christians will grow and mature and come out of the childish and babyish things that is going on? Hallelujah.
Amen.
All our relationship with God is need driven. Because all we have understood is that God is a miracle worker. God meets our needs. Ask and it shall be given. That's all we know. That those are the scriptures that have accumulated in our hearts and in our minds. It
it is as if all other scriptures does not exist. It is only asking for needs, miracles, that is all that exists. So all prayer meetings are full of losing, releasing, and praying for your needs, and God can do it, and God will open, and God, and then people are praying and praying. That is all.
And that
shows the level of growth in the church. It shows clearly that Christians are not maturing. Because anytime we are need driven, our relationship with God is shallow. Even your relationship with your fellow brother, your fellow sister, must not be a relationship on needs. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is why people can make friends, and as long as that friend is providing their needs and meeting their needs, they are their friends. But when they stop, friendship break. That is why they say that the rich man has many friends. Because even those who never knew him were forced to be his friend. Because they know that they can meet their needs one way or the other.
But
Bible says the poor man doesn't have any friend. Because what am I going to do? Be friends with him? What am I going to get? That is the mentality. That is the thinking. But every relationship must never be needs driven. That kind of relationship is not a lasting relationship. It's not a deep relationship. It's not a matured relationship. It's based on sand, sinking sand. Hallelujah. And God desires a better relationship from us than the need-driven relationship that we have adopted as Christians in today. Hallelujah. Are you here this morning?
Oh, I had no pain.
Yeah, and I believe you agree with me. That we have become too need-driven. All our praise is about needs. Every time it's about what you are going to get from God. Hallelujah. That's all. Even people are moving from one church to the other because they feel that this church, they are not meeting their needs. So I'm going to the other church because there are rich people there. They are great people. Somebody told me, he says, I'm moving to this church because this church, I am a contractor, and there are many, many contractors there. I can get contract. that is what he told me. Because he can get contract.
And I'm saying, because a contract for many be.
So he's going to the particular church. It's not based on going to know God, but he's going so that his needs can be met.
And your course, I'm sorry, no. Then he said, oh, I got some young coupon. Now, of course, in the bear, the year, dear, no, or many.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am not playing down on the need on our needs.
Nah, and yes, sir. And find the whole here.
We all have needs. And we all love that our needs must be met. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Yeah, we all want our needs to be met. And we know that there are some needs that it becomes so difficult that we need to go to God to ask. But every relationship that is just needs based is always a one-way relationship.
akoy se o de ahia mi de ahia mi no na sa yonkofa na akoy se e kwan ba akopɛ so ayonkofa.
It's a one way relationship.
E kwan ba akopɛ ayonkofa.
Hallelujah. One traffic relationship. It's going only one way. There is no reciprocating action.
It's
a one-way traffic.
One-way
relationship. Need space. You are not thinking of the other person. You are only thinking about yourself. And so our relationship with God has become just what we will get from God. But we don't understand whether God even wants something back from us. Amen. We don't know that God has a certain will that he wants us to perform. We have never even asked God, God, what do you want me to do for you? What can I do for you? We are not interested in that. All we are interested in what he can do for us. Because he has said he's a doer. He has said he's a miracle worker. He has said he is the one that opens doors. He is a way maker. So that is all we know. And that is all we believe about it. That is how we relate to you. Hallelujah. One way traffic. It's a very boring relationship. If you are in that kind of relationship, very soon you'll become tired. I'm telling you, you'll become tired. Are you understanding me? You become exhausted. Because the other person is not thinking about you. He's not thinking about your needs. Because your need can be different from his needs. What God wants from you is different from what you want from him. So you must understand that the relationship, a relationship is two ways. It is give and take. It is two ways. It's not a monologue. It's a dialogue. That is why we call it a relationship. So I believe that it is time that we Christians, we begin to get out of that one-way relationship. Because I can tell you something, that when you are pleasing God, and doing what God wants, sometimes you don't even have to ask for your needs. God. God meets it automatically. If you like, try it and see. Just be pleasing him. Just be doing things for God. And you have a need before you will ask, God has already done it. And you begin to ask yourself, hey, how did God even know that I need this? Sometimes he can even provide it before the need will come. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it is a two-way relationship. It's give and take. It's time for us to arise. It's time for us to mature. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is only babies that have a need or rented relationship. But when you begin to mature, and you begin to understand the relationship, you understand that it's not one way, but there is a part you have to also play. So this morning I'm just talking, I titled my message giving. Hallelujah. Now in Acts chapter 20 verse 35, that is our main text, Acts chapter 20, verse 35. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Hallelujah. Now, if you read that scripture carefully, it doesn't say that receiving is not a blessing. Read it well and you understand it. He did not condemn receiving. He didn't say receiving is not a blessing. Brother, receiving is a blessing. I mean, Pastor, when you are there right now and somebody come and give you a brown or white envelope, and you open it and it is only 50 notes, bonder. Brother, what will you say? Will you say this is not a blessing? But brother, that is a blessing. Or you are in your house and somebody comes with a car. And he said, Pastor, I just want to bless you with this car. Even the man bringing the car said, I want to bless you. Receiving is a blessing. When you receive, it's a blessing. When you are not receiving anything, brother, pray that you receive. Because if you are not receiving, then there's something wrong. If you are not receiving anything, there's some curse hanging somewhere. Because curses can hinder receiving. I'm telling you, nothing will come into your hand. Nobody will remember you. Nobody will come towards your direction. Something is hanging somewhere. You need to pray and deal with it. Because receiving is also a blessing. Receiving is a blessing. Brother, when you give me something, it's a blessing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I rejoice over it. I am glad over it. I am happy about it. So receiving is a blessing. But listen to what he said. He said, remember what Jesus said. That it is more blessed in giving than in receiving. So this one is not talking about a blessing. But he's talking about a more blessing. A more blessing. It is more blessed. You are more blessed than in giving, than in receiving. So there is a blessing in receiving, but there is more blessing in giving. So when you are a giver, you are receiving the more blessing. When you are a receiver, you are receiving a blessing. But the giver receives double portion. It is a more blessing, an abundant blessing. Are you here this morning? I pray to God that somebody here would change from a receiver to become a giver, from a one-time blesser to become a more blessing. May the blessing that come to you be more blessing, be abundant blessing, because you have learned that receiving is a blessing, but giving is more. It is just more than a blessing. It is greater than just a blessing. It is a double portion. If you can receive one portion, then there's something you can do to receive a double portion. I will love the double portion. I will love the more blessing. I will love the abundant blessing. He said, remember what Jesus said. It is more blessed than to give than receive. We have become a receiver. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, we've become receivers. We've become receivers. Containers of receivers. Amen.
Amen.
We are walking, we are only thinking, how will I receive something? How will I receive something? We are just walking, we are praying. Somebody, we are, some people are even trusting God that they'll find some money on the ground. Your mind is so quiet. It's so weird that towards receiving that, somebody, you are even trusting that somebody's money from his bag will fall on the ground and you come and meet it at the right time.
Now, my father.
Hallelujah. Amen. Because you see, you're so focused on blessing. On receiving. You have become a skeptical of receiving. A container of receiving.
Hallelujah.
Every time receiving. Yes, it's a blessing. But what about the double blessing? What about the more blessing? To give. Hallelujah. And that is what I'm saying, that our relationship with God has become a needs-driven relationship. We are always looking up to God to receive something from Him. There is nothing wrong in receiving from God. But there is something wrong when it is every time. That is your mentality. And you don't ever think of how you can do something for God.
Now, the one Jew said, "Me the appointment I'm a faso, I am shira amobi."
Amen. Listen, God expects us to do things for Him. Oh yes, He does. And He's looking up to us. Amen.
Amen.
As you look up to Him for your needs, yeah. God is also looking up to you to do something for Him. Luke chapter 6 verse 38. Verse number 38,
isn't it? Okay. So let's see what is written there.
Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more. Running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, Bible says, give.
Oh, see, shall see, ma.
And you shall receive.
Now, also, yebe ma.
It didn't say receive.
One person, chi.
And receive.
Na koso na chi.
He said, give.
I say, ma.
And you will receive.
Now, also, yebe ma.
Give.
Or say, ma.
So sometimes because you don't give, there is a blockade in the atmosphere for your receiving. Amen. You know, sometimes when preachers, pastors, we preach like this, people think that we preach like this because we want money. No. Hallelujah. No, because I am preaching to myself, I must also be a giver. The word of God is not for the congregation alone. The word of God is for the pastor first. The word must minister to me first. And so when we speak about things, we are also ministering to ourselves. He says, give and you will receive. Give.
Ma.
He didn't say pray. He said give.
Ma.
Hallelujah. We are busy praying to receive.
What
did he say pray? He said give. He said give. Check the scripture. Maybe it is not that. Maybe your Bible, they didn't write it that way. It said pray and receive. No, my Bible says give. Give. Give.
Ma.
And you shall receive.
And I will show Usabeka.
The Bible did not say that when you have a certain amount or you have a certain level, then you can begin to give. He said give.
Osimba.
A and you shall receive. Give and you shall receive. Some people don't give because when they look at what they have, they said it's small. If it is small and you don't want to give, how will you receive? But yet you are praying. You are holding on to your small one. And you are praying for more to come. And you are praying for more to come. God does not work magic. God abides by his word. And his word says give. So if you are going to come out of your small, then you must learn to be a giver. Give the small one. Give the little one. And that little one, God will give it back to you, but he will not give it to you in the way you gave it out. He will give it to you more than what you gave out. But he says, give and you shall receive. It is a principle. No amount of your prayer will change the principle. Are you understanding what I'm saying? No amount of your prayer will change the principle. It's a principle. You have to abide by the principle. And he says, give and you will. You will. You will receive. Give. And you will receive. So no matter how you have, no matter the level of what you have, no matter the amount of what you have, you must learn to give. When you give in the letter, whether it's in that you give in the abundance, in whatever level you give in, you will receive. That is what Bible says. But it doesn't end there. It says your gift, that which you give, will return to you in full. That which you give will return to you in full. Not your prayer, but what you give will return in full. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It will return in full. Press down. Press down. It will return in full. But the full that is coming has been pressed down.
Look, those, you know, the banku eaters. When you go and grind the corn, you grind the corn and you soak it, and you know, and it comes into dough. You know, you make it full in the thing, and then you press it, isn't it? You press it down so that you can put more. When you press it down, space comes. Are you getting what I'm saying? Space comes. So you press it again. And the Bible says, your gift will return to you in full. Press down. Press down. Shake it together. Then press it down. To make room for more. To make room for what? More. When you don't give, you don't make room for more. That is the truth. You don't make room for more. No, because when you hold, you withhold more than is necessary. You have occupied all the space. And nothing can come in. Are you understand what I'm saying? But when you give, you create room. It will come to you in full. Press down, shaking together to make room for more. Running over and poured into your lap. I tell you, the thing will be full. It has been pressed down. It has been shaken together. And now it is even running over. And it shall be put into your lap. Running over blessing does not come by prayer. A running over blessing, it comes by giving. And when you give, it shall come back to you in full measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and to make room, that it will be more. And running over shall be put into your lap. You are ready for a miracle. You are ready for to receive something, but nothing has come out of you. You haven't given anything, but your expectation is that you want to receive something. What kind of expectation is that? What quack expectation is that? You are not ready to give.
You haven't given anything. What do you want to do? Oh my God, listen. God, whatever you give out, it is upon that which God stands on. Are you understanding what I'm saying? What you give is what he takes. And give back to you in full. He says, when you give, when you give, it will return. It will what? Return. So if you don't give, what are you expecting to return? You see, and they worry pastors. And pastors do some, and pastors who don't know anything also be fasting and praying. You lie back. That is why they criticize some pastors. Pastor says, who didn't be? Why? Then they say, I went to the pastor. Me see, he should pray for me. I want God to give me some money. I want to receive some miracle. Then the pastor said, go and get some money and come and sow seed. Now whose seed must come to you? Hello, whose seed must come to you? When somebody has sown the seed in his farm, and you are in your house, and you have a farm, you refuse to sow your seed.
Why do you say,
and you are saying that miracle by force, the person's seed must come into your life. What are you talking about? It doesn't happen.
No,
it doesn't happen. At all. It does not happen. No. Last year we planted some beans over here. For a long time we stopped buying beans from the market. Because we were eating our own beans.
Beans na edi.
Amen.
Amen.
Why are we eating our beans? Because what we sowed, it has returned to us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It has returned to us in full. Because we sowed something. And what we sowed is returning to us. If I want to eat egg right now, I go to the back there into my chicken pen. There are eggs there. Right now, there are eggs there. I can take and fry for you. There are eggs there. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Why are there eggs there? Because I'm raising some fowls. And I'm investing into that. I give them food every time. I give them water every time. I take care of them every time. So when they lay eggs, it returns to me. If I like them, I will allow them to sit on the eggs and they'll hatch. And one fowl will hatch 5 or 6 or 10. It doesn't return to me on one, it returns to me in full. Are you here this morning? To make room for more, running over and poured into your lap, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. It is simply talking about investment. What you invest, the level of investment you make is the level of returns that you get. If you don't make investments, don't look forward for returns. God is not a magician. If you invest, he'll give you returns on your investments. Are you here? Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So we must get out of this need-oriented relationship with God.
And
become Christians who also know how to give to God. Amen.
Amen.
Luke chapter 12. Verse 16 to 20. Luke 12, 16 to 20. Then he told a story A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I will have room enough to store all my," I want you to write it there, "to store. I will have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I will sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" Hallelujah. Let's stop there for a while. So this is a man.
Now where you are,
rich man.
Osikeni.
He has done a lot of investment in his farm.
And I want to fool him.
And he had a lot of harvest. Now, after harvesting, he looked at his storehouses and his silos and he said, "These ones are too small." He said, "I know what I'll do. I'll pull them down and build bigger ones. And store." And what? And store. Pile up. My wheat, my corn, my produce. I will store them up. Hallelujah. I will store them up. And I will say, and I will sit back and say to myself, "My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." Hallelujah. Isn't that a good thing? You are stored enough. All your bank accounts are full to the brim. If I don't work for the next 30 years, I will eat, drink, and make merry and relax. Nowhere is given to anybody. No, nothing is going out. Nowhere has he ever thought of giving anything out. He's thinking of storing. Don't get me wrong, because when I'm teaching, I want to make it proper. Storing is not evil. That is why God gave Joseph wisdom to tell the king of Egypt to store plenty in the 7 years, because the next 7 years will be famine. So storing is not wrong. Storing is good. Investment is good. Savings are good. But savings without any thought of giving out. Amen. It's wrong. And this man said, "I will just sit down, relax, and eat and drink." Selfish person who was only thinking about himself. Selfish. He wasn't thinking about anybody. He wasn't even thinking about the one who gave him the strength and the ability and the power to make what he had made. And to give a little back. Listen to what God said to him. But God said to him, "You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you work for?" Amen.
Amen.
Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. Amen.
Amen.
It says, "You fool, you fool. You will die this night. After storing all, you will die tonight. You have stored enough and you are looking to eat and drink and make and then just enjoy the rest of your life and not thinking about even the one who created you. You are not even thinking of investing into his kingdom, into anything. He says, "You fool, you will die tonight."
A person
is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God.
So I've
heard many people say my brain, look at them. They have come and said they're asking for money. My brain, my yesika, my bresa, my what do you call it? My tifi free, my yejuma sa, fundraising. They have forgotten that to even wake up from bed, somebody woke you up.
They've
forgotten that the same work you are doing, others are doing the same work, but you are prospering.
So
they're not thinking about any other thing except just to store up. And you know what the Bible calls that? It calls it poverty. Yes, the Bible calls it the fact that you have stored up plenty does not make you rich. It makes you a poor person. Because I've seen people who have stored up, even when you look at their appearance alone, they can't even buy good clothes to wear. Their children, they look wretched. Their wives look wretched. And you ask yourself, they say, this man is a rich man. Nobody around him is lifted. When you look at him and the people around him, they are the same. There's no difference. The hallmark of a rich man and a great man is the people around you. When you are lifting them up, you are lifting them up. You are lifting them up. You are, their lives are transformed in a change because of the blessing that God has given to you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It is not about storing.
And yes, sir, would you see me pray?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
No. Okay, I'm watching my time. I hope that time is correct. Is it correct? Okay. All right. Matthew chapter 6. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. We are studying today, so just permit me, okay? Matthew chapter 6. I think this man, he needs water, the way I'm seeing. If you can get him some water. Matthew chapter 6, verse 17 to 21. Matthew 6, verse 17 to 21. Let me read from verse 19. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Amen.
Amen.
So Bible says, don't store up treasures here on earth. The man we read about was only storing his treasures here on earth. He had no thought of the life after this place. No, he did not think about investing, eternal investment. No, he didn't think about that.
I know when dream.
That was not his concern.
And no one be a funny.
He didn't care about that.
And funny.
He was only storing here on earth.
He
says, when you store here on earth,
now
he
said, what is here?
There are certain elements that will destroy what you have stored. He says, where moths will eat them. And rust destroy them.
Now,
and and where thieves break in and steal.
There
are certain elements that will destroy what you have stored. Amen.
Amen.
Lots of elements. A friend pastor of mine, they have their grandfather's house is in a place in around the Keta region called Haveji. You know, when we were in school, we visited that house. Very big house. Very big.
Madam for Sophobi, Papa Ewa Japadie, Ewa Volta region.
Very big house. Go to the house today. All you see is sand. All you see is sand. And some small structures that are full of sand. The house is gone.
I say.
It's gone.
I say.
Hallelujah. The house is gone.
I say.
Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Dream.
Yes, the house is gone. There's nothing on this earth that you will store that will not disintegrate or spoil or be destroyed or thieves steal. But God is also talking about an eternal investment. So how do you get internal investment? It's according to what you do here on earth. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's according to what you do here on earth. Jesus said something. He said, and I'll say unto you, when I was in prison, you didn't visit me. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. And you will ask me, why were you naked? Why were you hungry?
But
Jesus, I didn't see you. He says, as you didn't do it to this
one,
so you didn't do it unto me. So he's telling you that whatever you do with what you have on this earth, well, that make an eternal investment for you. Or it will remain a temporal investment. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are temporal investments and eternal investments. If you are afraid to make eternal investments, he says, store up treasures in heaven. Go and read this. Jesus said it himself. He says, store up treasures in heaven. Store up treasures in heaven. It means that when you get to heaven, your accounts, the account is open for you whilst you are here. And you are storing treasures whilst you are here. So when you get there, they give you your papers to your account. Yes, and you can sign for the treasures. I was listening to Young Gicho, and he was preaching. Young Gicho, Paul
Young Gicho.
And Paul Young Gicho said, a pastor of his, in fact, he died. And he went to heaven. And when he got to heaven, he met his wife there, in that the wife had died before him. He met his wife in heaven. And his wife was in a very beautiful mansion. Then she met a cleaner who had died in the church. He was just a cleaner, cleaning the chairs and sweeping. He met the cleaner too there. And the cleaner's house, his mansion was even bigger than the wife's own. Then they took him to his mansion.
And I didn't call.
It was uncompleted. And it was actually remaining roofing. And he asked Jesus, he said, why is my house not finished?
He says,
because you will go back. You will go back. When you go back, the works that you do, the investments that you'll be doing, it will be coming here. We shall be using it to roof. If you want, if you don't want to go to heaven and find out that you have an uncompleted building, are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes, because you see, he says, store up treasures in heaven. Store up treasures in heaven. You will get there and you'll find out that your account is empty. You chop all your account here. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, you chop all your account here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You see, we need to give God what He desires of us. In our relationship with God, it is not only about money.
Because
many of us, we evaluate our relationship with God based on money. It's a very, very, very shallow way of looking at things. That is why today, even when some thief have gone to steal, they say he is blessed. Because we count everything in monetary terms. Hallelujah. But you remember that God requires our time also. Time. Time is an investment.
You see, on this earth,
we don't have time. Our times and our seasons are in the hands of God. So we don't have the time. We don't have the luxury of time. Because you don't know when you will die. So your the seasons and times are not in your hands. They are in God's hands. So God requires that as you go about your duties, allocate some time for Him. Allocate some time for the work of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God requires your time. You must learn to give God your time. Because time is precious. When you give God your time, when you give the work of God your time, you are giving Him something precious. Because every time that is gone, you can't get it back. So God always appreciates when we give Him our time. When we make time for Him. He said, come to church. He said, I don't have time. Come to prayer meeting. I don't have time. Come to prayer choir practice. I don't have time. Let's go for evangelism. I don't have time. You don't have even Bible study. You don't have time. When you wake up in the morning, you can't even study one page of the Bible. You don't have time. You wake up in the morning, you can't even talk to God for 1 hour. You don't have time. You see, all these ones, all the ones I don't have. You see, it is taken away minus. Your account is minus. When somebody is giving time, that businessman is very busy, but still he's giving time to the work of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He's giving time to the service of God. He's giving time to prayer. He's giving time to evangelism. I'm telling you something. You will see a plus in his account. 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 Because we don't have time.
Only time. Only bread.
But you have time to believe God to receive. But you don't have time to give God your time. Whatever you give to God, He gives it back to you. He says it will return to you. you. It will return to you. I read in the scriptures King Hezekiah. When the prophet was sent to him, he said, tell him, put your house in order, for you are coming to die. The Bible says King Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. And he said, God, remember. Remember I serve you. Remember the time I give to you. Remember the investments I make in worship, in evangelism, in praise. Remember, if I go, who will do all these things? And God looked at his account and he said, you have extra time. There is a plus and plus and plus in your account. When it comes to time, he sent the prophet back. He said, go and tell him he has 15 years in his account. Add it to him. Let him live another 15 years. The time he gave to God was returned to him. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, was put in his lap. When you give God your time, he will give back time to you. You think you are wasting your time, but you don't waste your time when you give it to God. He gives it back to you. Are you understanding me this morning? Hallelujah. We say we don't want, you see, in this, in the time and season we live in, that is the biggest thing we say, we don't have time. You don't have time for God. You want him to have time for you? You want him to have time for you? Hey, you don't have time for him. You don't have time to talk to him. You want, what do you want from him? You don't want time to talk. You don't have time to talk to him. You don't have time to study the word. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, "These words, this book of these words shall not depart out of your mouth. Thou shalt meditate upon it day and night. To make sure that you do according to everything that is written there. So shall that prosper. And you shall have good success. He said, this word, I don't have time to read. I don't have time. But you want God to have time for you. It's not possible. You don't have time for the service of God. When it comes to the things, you don't have time. Hallelujah. You don't have time. God expects you to invest your time in him. It's not only money. It's not only So when I'm talking about God's relationship, and I said we are needs oriented. I'm not only talking about money. Because some of us, we even need time. God, give us some time. God, give us some time. We pray, God, give us some time, but you don't give him any time. You don't give him any time. It's 12 o'clock. I want to finish and yet continue next week because I don't want us to go beyond 12 o'clock. Hallelujah. But it is time you and I grow up. We need to grow up. Amen. You see, our relationship with God must be deeper. It must be more mature. It must be based on a mutual respect. It must not be just a needs-driven relationship. And that is why we are having so many troubles today in the Christian church. Because our need, we are too needs driven. Hallelujah. Amen. We are not thinking of what we can do for God. Bow down your heads with me this afternoon. Ask yourself, have you ever thought, God, what can I do for you this month? What can I do for you this month? This week, what can I do for you? These 3 days, have I even done anything for the Lord? No, we don't even think like this. It's not in our thoughts. It's not in our minds. We are only thinking of, have we even received any miracle? Have there been some intervention? Have the hand of God shown itself? That's what we are thinking about. That's all. But there must be a change. There must be a transformation. And it must come from you. You must begin to understand. Let the word of God enlighten you. Let the minds of your understanding be enlightened. Let light appear. Let light appear. Don't see God as a talisman anymore. Don't see God as someone who only meets your needs anymore. But relate to God in a relationship that is a two-way. That God gives to me and I give back to God. I invest in the things of God. I invest in the work of God. I invest my abilities and my and everything of mine in the work of God and in the service of God. And in the worship of God. I give God my time. Hallelujah. I give God my time. It is time for us to change. It's time for us to change. It's time for us to change. It's time for us to change. God is a giver. Yes, sir. God is a giver. He gives to us. He blows our minds. Sometimes our understanding cannot reach the grace that God showers on us. Sometimes we don't even deserve it. But he blesses us and he gives to us tremendously. But it doesn't mean that God does not expect anything from us. He does. He does. He does. The other day, David made a statement.
David, I can't send me.
When he was supposed to do a sacrifice on the threshing floor of Onan. Onan said, listen, I give it to you free. Make the sacrifice. David said, no. I cannot give anything to God that will not cost me.
Wow.
I can't give anything to God that will not cost me. He wanted to feel that he had given something to God. He wanted it to cost him. But today, Christians, we don't want anything to cost us when it comes to the worship of God. No, we don't want it to cost us at all. We don't want to do anything for God to the detriment of our time. But today I believe that God is speaking to us. I believe that God is speaking to us. God is telling us something. That he needs us to. He needs us to. He requires things from us. The time he gives to us. He wants us to give him time to. Hallelujah. He says, give and it shall be given to you. It shall return to you. It shall return to you. God is a giver. And he expects us also to be givers. Because he gave his son. Today he has many sons and daughters. For the one son that he gave out, he has many sons and daughters. What are you giving out to the Lord? What are you giving out to the Lord? What investments are you making to the Lord? Give and it shall return to you. Give and it shall return to you. Give and it shall return to you. Let your relationship be rich in fellowship. Be rich in love. Be rich in duties. Be rich in giving to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As your hearts are
bowed,
I want you to begin to talk to God this afternoon. You know yourself. Look at yourself. Are you sure that you are really having that good relationship? If that relationship is one-sided, it's time to change. It's time to change. It's time to change. It's time to change. Talk to God.
speak to God. It's time to change. It's time to change. It's time to change. Change your mindset. Change your thinking. Change that relationship. Have a better relationship. Have a glorious relationship. It is not only God that must meet your needs. You must also meet the needs of the work of God, of the fellowship of God, of the service of God, of the worship of God. Yeah.